content warning. Today's episode of Pop Culture covers topics that may be disturbing for some viewers or listeners. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
Hello, my lovely hummingbirds, and welcome back to another episode of Makeup and Motivation here on Pop Culture with all your lovely host, Monroe. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to the series on this channel where we discuss everything going on in the world of movies, media, music, news, entertainment, all that good shit. And also the space where I give a little bit of motivation in the journey of life, love, and self-healing, and do some, more often than not, cosplay-inspired makeup looks to go along with today's topic of conversation, which, as I mentioned previously, is the webs we weave in the journey of life, love, and self-healing. For today's makeup look, we are going to take inspiration from none other than feline slash lover slash complicated confidant slash cat burglar extraordinaire Felicia Hardy, also known as Black Cat. Before you say Monroe, what do cats and spiders have to do together? Well, cats can capture spiders, just like Felicia Hardy did in her gorgeous claws when she captured Peter Parker. My nonsense aside, before we get into all of that, I would greatly appreciate it if you would all join me in a moment of silence for the lives that we have lost thus far in the world of news, movies, media, music, entertainment, and popular culture, including Blaze Perriman, Michael Latt, Norman Lear, Hisham Awatani, Kenan Abdelhamid, Tahsin Ali Ahmad, Andre Bauer, Samer Abudaka, and Mohamed Baloucha, including all of the victims that have since been lost in the Israeli government attacking Palestine still. But please join me now in this moment of silence. Thank you all for joining me in that moment of silence. Now, without further ado,
please join me for the rest of today's episode titled The Webs We Weave.
So, my lovely hummingbirds, what do we think about the makeup look? Is it giving thief in the night? I think so. So I don't, unfortunately, have my black cat eye mask. That is still locked away in storage. But I do have my bag full of wigs, and I was like, you know what? How can I not? How can I not do it? Also, I was very skeptical of how this makeup look was going to originally come out. I was like, we are trusting the process because what is happening? But for today, this is like super fucking late, and what day is it today? It was a while ago now. Happy solstice. Wait, no. Is it winter? Yes. Happy solstice, my lovely hummingbirds. I hope it was beautiful. At the time that I'm recording, it is the day of the solstice. But I hope you guys had a wonderful time and, you know, setting up your trees, doing the whole offerings, everything. For those of you that don't celebrate, happy holidays to everyone that is celebrating their respective holidays. In other news, happy Feliz Dia de la Virgen de Guadalupe. Sorry, y'all. That whole week, I was just, didn't post. But you are getting that episode for La Virgen de Guadalupe for a grain of salt. It's so weird for me not having the eye mask on. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was just like, I miss her. She's so pretty. And also not having my little like fur and everything for Black Cat, but it's okay. Fake fur, by the way. Now for some updates.
So there was
a ceasefire in Gaza,
and it only lasted for approximately a week. It was originally negotiated to last 4 days. And while on the end of Hamas, they were willing to negotiate to keep releasing hostages, the Israeli government denied it, saying that they were going to move full force with the continuation of the war and the extermination of Hamas. However, since then, there has been a slew of things that have occurred. And there was something that I noticed today. I didn't even put it in my notes because it's just like so fucking fresh in my head at the time of me recording. So there, and I am going to speak about this a little more next week on next week's episode, but there was an Emmy that was won. I cannot remember his name off the top of my head, but it was for a series, if I'm not mistaken. I think the series is called Eat This With Yara. And, you know, in the acceptance speech, he did give thanks for, like, winning the award and mentioned everything going on in Palestine. And there were people in the crowd that were, like, you know, visibly gasping and all this shit. Like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. There has been discourse around it of, like, were they in the sense of, I can't believe this is happening? Or was the discourse revolving more of a, oh my God, I can't believe he's bringing it up type of thing, right? But there was something that I noticed today. So my parents love to watch Mexican news channels. And one of the things that I noticed, so there was an occurrence where white phosphorus was used in against like civilian homes. And it was recently being televised, as in like current news, even though it is something that from the time of this recording had already taken place. And other bombings that had occurred on hospitals and schools. And I'm like watching the news and I'm like looking at my parents and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, but that happened a week ago. And so I started like, you know, skimming of like what was actually being released as far as Western media and even Mexican media news channels. And I was like, you know, and the comparison between what we are seeing on social media, if you are following everything that's been happening to this point, to what's being displayed in regular news channels is very different. I am going to touch upon that, like I said, next week's episode, but I don't know, just bringing it up because I was like, I don't know if you guys have noticed that where there's like, either it's not being televised or there is like a time gap in between when things are being released. Anyway, as mentioned, with the ceasefire and the bombings and everything that's been going on in Gaza and the loss, the tragic, tragic loss of civilian lives and casualties, during the ceasefire and the release of the hostages, there was a stark contrast between the hostages that were released on behalf of Hamas and the hostages that were released on behalf of the Israeli government. And yes, they are hostages. I refuse to call them prisoners, especially since a lot of them were being detained without any actual, like, anything against them. They were being detained without a viable reason. We're gonna put a pin in that. But so I've mentioned since the start of this, I have been keeping an eye on both ends to see what is said. And when I tell you, it is a PR nightmare, right? And one of the things that's been like resonating really heavy, at least across social media, is those that are pro-Palestinian stating that we are winning the PR war, essentially, that's happening, where the Israeli government will try to shape things as one way and ignoring drastically a lot of the facts of what is going on. And even when they do admit to it, they try to like then take it and put a spin on it of like, well, yes, I know I did just say this, but no, I didn't, because I didn't actually. And like saw comments. Someone was like, not them trying to gaslight us within the first 5 minutes of all of this fucking interview, right? So that's been going on. And sadly, the Israeli government did deny the bodies of the Bibas family, which were hostages that were killed during Israeli air raids. In that, and I had briefly, so first off, that's fucked up. Like, just them denying the family the bodies of their loved ones for for proper burial is fucked, right? Apart from that occurring, because of it, there were protests in Tel Aviv. And, you know, for people, there has been such a fucking outcry all for a ceasefire, and it just has not been happening. And honestly, I'm just sitting here like, how is it that on a large scale as a collective, people are pleading for this to stop, and the powers that be are just like, no. No, we're not going to do that. Including, so December 6th, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, he invoked Article 99, and it's not Gutierrez, it's Guterres. I made sure. That's why I was like, wait, I wrote that correctly. So, the UN Secretary General invoked Article 99 of the UN Charter, which appeals for a humanitarian ceasefire and bringing to attention anything that, in his opinion, may threaten the maintenance of international peace and security. And, like, considering that Benjamin Netanyahu was like, yeah, no, it doesn't fucking matter, we're not gonna stop, we're gonna keep going. So far so that he went on to threaten that anyone that is part of Hamas, right? And I'm gonna put that in quotations, and we're gonna get into that in a second, but stating that, like, those members that are in Lebanon, Turkey, and Qatar were also going to be handled, essentially. They were gonna be taken care of, and Turkey was like, don't fucking try it, right? I don't think them launching Article 99 was a bad motion, like the invoking of it. However, there has been nothing done to enforce said article. There has been a whole lot of discourse of how, like, follow the money, because the countries that voted against the ceasefire were 10 countries: Austria, Czech Republic, Guatemala, Israel, Liberia, Micronesia, Nauru, Papua New Guinea, Paraguay, and the United States. 23 countries abstained, including Argentina, Bulgaria, Cabo Verde, Cameroon, Equatorial Guinea, Georgia, Germany, Hungary, Italy, Lithuania, Malawi, Marshall Islands, Netherlands, Palau, Panama, Romania, Slovakia, South Sudan, Togo, Tonga, Ukraine, UK, and Uruguay. Argentina got a whole lot going on right now. They're also protesting, like, the current rise to power over there. So, like, that's a whole other kind of thing. But Biden did speak out about how if Benjamin essentially continued with the carpet bombing, he was going to continue losing a lot of the support that he has in, like, the Western countries and countries that did initially support Israel. I am sitting here, though, watching everything unfold, and, like, as part of the grand populace, right, of the world being against it, I'm like, okay, I get that there's been people in favor. And the common notion of everyone that has been in favor, there is no convincing them otherwise to not be in favor. From what I've fucking noticed. And Benjamin did go as far as saying that, like, he doesn't care if he loses support, he's not going to stop. There are some things that I want to look into more as far as, like, a railroad system that is said to lead from London to India going through Gaza. The fucking property development thing that I saw for some like beach homes on the strip. The fucking IDF soldier that posted herself turning back, ass cheeks up, saying she needs to go back there in a fucking bikini, though what looks like a drug-induced rave. There's a whole lot going on. And a whole lot not being shown in regards to it all. Now, with that being said, there have been still boycotts and strikes and so much going on around the world because of it. And one of the things that actually did get reported, I think it was on CNN, if I'm not fucking mistaken, it was CNN. So CNN did report how the whole system that the IDF was doing for the evacuation zones did not make any fucking sense. It was completely confusing. It made... So, to explain what happened, they basically cut up Gaza into like 600 different zones. And the IDF was launching what were the safe zones via Twitter. And CNN was reporting, they're like, you know, but it doesn't make sense because there isn't reliable internet. So you're launching, you know, all these pamphlets with QR codes and expecting people to not just keep up with their safety and try to ration whatever aid was let in, which was not sufficient, obviously. But also they have to now keep up with the internet, which is low to no access in most parts. So it's just not a fucking fighting chance. And the more as time goes on, the more that like more things are coming out. Like the New York Times reported how Israel knew about the attack but didn't take it seriously. They were given notice of like a fucking exercise of like a, I guess, rehearsal of the attack, and they were like, nope, it's not legitimate. The numbers keep dropping on the Israeli side of lives lost, including one that was like a witness, supposedly. He was benefiting off like the survivor and hostage camps and treatment and everything, because he claimed that 29 of his friends that were killed were in attendance, but then it came out that 29 of those people were never even in attendance on October 7th at the music festival, according to Mint Press. And with that, like from Scotland's Celtic Football Club being fined because the fans waved a Palestinian flag during the Champions League game, to Brussels shutting down in solidarity with Gaza for the international call for a strike, essentially, for a shutdown, including Starbucks and H&M pulling out of Morocco due to so much money lost. Starbucks, last that I saw, has lost up to $11 billion amid the boycott, and I shouldn't laugh, but it's kind of funny. So if you guys have been following me for, like, since the fucking beginning, I was a heavy, heavy Starbucks head for a really long time. Loved it. It was a thing that I did with my mom all the time. And then I, like, left home and started going to all these fucking coffee shops and all this stuff. And I just started slowly and surely not drinking Starbucks as much. And then all of this happened, and I, like, little side tangent, I told my mom, I was like, we can't go here anymore. And she's like, why? And I'm like explaining to her things of basically how to boycott with your wallet. She was like, okay. She's like, we won't go there anymore. She's like, we'll try new places. And I was like, oh my God, I love my mom. I'm so proud right now. But seeing like, Starbucks has never been cheap coffee. Okay, it never has been. It's always been seen as like a luxury type of thing, like a little fucking treat or whatever. And again, $11 billion is what they've lost thus far since the fucking boycott started. So much so to the point that like they are now offering half off all drinks every Thursday and free hot chocolate every Saturday and Sunday throughout the end of the fucking year. as like a consequence of it, people are still with their eye very heavy on celebrities and people with larger platforms that have not yet spoken out publicly regarding the obliteration of the Palestinian people, because that is really the only way I can explain it as, including Amal Clooney. She did attend the British Fashion Awards, though, and was giving Charlotte Tilbury an award. But people are like, you know, interesting. Also, people that faced backlash recently, besides Beyonce, for looking very, very pale, and people spreading the discourse that she was potentially bleaching over time. I don't know about that, but her and Taylor Swift faced backlash for not removing the screenings of their tour films in Israel, and people fucking were going crazy at the screening in Israel, and I'm just like, I feel about that. Anyway, Time Magazine also got backlash for putting Taylor Swift as the Time cover person of the year. A lot of the magazines have been getting backlash this year for like their rankings. Even they put Bad Bunny as like King of Pop, and people were like, calm down now. That's not what he is. Besides that, both Rihanna and Puma have received a fuck ton of backlash for their support of sponsoring the Israeli Soccer League. But Puma has since ended their sponsorship of the brand, or not the brand, sponsorship of the league. The Weeknd donated $2.5 million in humanitarian aid to Gaza. Elon did meet with Benjamin after there were calls for X, formerly known as Twitter, to remove all anti-Semitic discourse that was happening on the app. However, Elon basically was like, fuck you, and hasn't. And there has been this whole notion of like, I don't know, the powers that be want to take it down. But nothing has been said thus far, although there was an outage yesterday from the time of recording on the 20th of December. And there was this whole, like, everyone checking, like, why was there the fucking outage, but nothing was up, and it was a blackout for, like, an hour. Was it erasing the post? No idea. Instagram has still been doing shutdowns of a lot of the pro-Palestinian individuals that are using their platforms to have a voice, and I've recently noticed, even under, like, humanitarian aid, under fucking, like, groups, like, I think it was a fucking UNICEF ad, and it said Meta does not sponsor or is in, like, support of this brand or company or whatever, and I was like,
hi, my lovely hummingbirds. So, it's been a few days since I initially started recording today's episode. It's no longer the solstice. Hi, it's past Christmas. If you did celebrate, I hope that you all had a wonderful time, if possible. The reason I say if possible, so ever since the conflict began in Gaza, the obliteration of the Palestinian people, really, there has been this notion around, like, it's not business as usual, right? Things are not the same. And whether you are up to date on the conflict or not, I feel that as a collective, there is still this notion. I've seen across social media so many people share, like, this year the holidays just don't feel like the holidays, no matter the holiday it is that you are celebrating in this winter season. And I was sitting here and, you know, doom scrolling, honestly, in an endless cycle of scrolling, honestly. And while people in the world of music and media and entertainment, like Mark Ruffalo and John Cusack and J-Lo and Drake and even Selena Gomez and all these artists went ahead and, like, either have spoken up
or have not spoken up publicly on their like profiles, on their platforms, but they did sign an open letter, it's brought up the question of like, is that really enough? Is acting in the background of whatever it is that you have going on really enough? And you guys let me know in the Q&A and the poll what it is that you think. Like, even though the artists that have signed open letters asking for a ceasefire, in your eyes, my lovely hummingbirds, is it sufficient versus them actually using their platforms to say something, I guess, out loud, if you will? Yeah, like, I found my little necklace, so when I initially started recording it, I had, like, this fake-ass diamond necklace on, and I was like, oh my god, but then I was like, the black cat wears pearls, not diamonds, and then I was like, I'm off-duty black cat right now, so he looks like a little ball. Anyway, that was a weird tangent. I've tried to like start recording this a bunch of times. Not only am I recording super late at night, which is why my level of boisterousness might be not as high as it typically is. so as not to wake, no despertar el pasaje, not to wake anybody else up, but I feel like I've been channeling, and I'm probably going to do a reading, which you guys might not see for this week, but you might see like 2 weeks from now. I have a few different things I want to post. It was so random. My lovely hummingbirds, what is going on? Again, it's been this whole notion of like things are not business as usual. If I'm not mistaken, I think there was a protest that happened on Christmas Eve at Chris Kindle Market here in Chicago, and it's this whole notion of like, it really, I don't know, there's a shift happening. And I feel like as a collective, whether you are spiritual or not, you have felt things shifting for quite some time now. Personally, I do think it has been in like the last 3 years, going into four now. As we enter 2024, which is insane. But I don't know. I think I am in agreement that like things cannot be business as usual, even though they kind of are, but they aren't. It's like we're all in this really toss-up of a limbo of like, I don't know, how can we just keep on going on every day without the weight of what's happening to some degree impacting us? Because not only is what's happening in Gaza to the Palestinian people happening, there's so many other things going on in the world right now, like the fucking protests that were happening in Argentina over like the new presidency, the displacement of everyone in Congo that is happening because of like the mining for minerals for phones and technology and all that shit, like the natural disasters that have been occurring. I saw this post earlier today, a friend of mine shared it, and it was like, you know, if you are not more seriously concerned about the fact that it is not pounding us snow in the Midwest right now, at least here in Chicago, like we should be a little bit more concerned about that because of the effects of climate. Like, there's a whole lot going on. Anyway, but besides that, hi. I hope you guys did take at least a moment away from all of the noise of the world to center with those that are with you in these moments that you're close to, that love you, that care about you, and are there to help you weather the storms that we are facing on what seems like a daily basis. Now, in other news.
Hi, my lovely hummingbirds. How's it going? I hope you're enjoying today's episode of Pop Culture thus far. But for today's little short intermission here, I have a Calendly. And for those of you that are new, welcome to the glittering. For those of you that aren't, hi, my lovely hummingbirds. I do personalized tarot and oracle readings. And if you want to book your very own personalized reading for 30 minutes that is directly sent to you to your email with whatever questions you have brewing within your soul to know more about, definitely go ahead and book me. But if you want a more in-person, hands-on type of reading where you can visually see me shuffle the cards and be in my presence, we are now doing 1-hour readings all in person. So if you find yourself in the city of Chicago, go to my Calendly at calendly.com/LVPBLLC and book your very own personalized reading with yours truly. All right, my lovely hummingbirds, that's it. That's it for my intermission. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Love you. Bye.
Besides the $106 billion blockade that Republicans put on Joe Biden because of the lack of border control in the country, basically the money was supposed to be going to Ukraine, and Joe Biden went on this whole fucking rampage of like, oh, well, if we don't defeat Putin and all this stuff, and Republicans were like, dude, we have a lot of shit going on here. It gave very the vibes of, baby girl, we got issues at home you need to be taken care of. So there has been still a lot of turmoil in regards to the migrant crisis. I know here in Chicago, benefits have halted completely, if I'm not mistaken. For those that are getting dropped off in buses, like, they're getting fined. There's so much uncertainty happening around of like what is going to happen to the people seeking asylum. I think I saw somewhere of how like there was going to be a prisoner exchange with the Venezuelan government. Like, there's just so many layers to this shit. And the whole the whole Trump in Colorado, barring him from presidency, I'm not entirely against it. Now, before I dive into the comment section, my lovely hummingbirds, and being like, Monroe, what the fuck, have you not seen everything Biden has done? Yes, I'm not agreeing with the Biden administration right now, but I don't think we need to bounce back to, which now seems like the lesser of two evils, which is honestly just fucking baffling. I think the U.S. collectively needs to go into a different direction as far as presidency, because neither Trump nor Biden, in my eyes, are a good fit. I'm gonna just say that. In other unrelated celebrity news, did you all check out everybody's Christmas pictures? People were looking cute getting into the holiday season, even though there was a turmoil amongst it all in the past few weeks. Cardi and Offset have separated. Now, are they fully divorcing? I'm not entirely sure. I haven't caught up with it. I've kind of just been offline for a bit, not really digging too much into everything right now, taking some time to like mentally recuperate. But they broke it off, and there was a point during the whole like them going back and forth, or kind of, where Offset mentioned that people in his comments were bringing Takeoff into the situation. Personally, I don't know if it was like on Instagram or Twitter, or well, X, formerly known as Twitter, if that's where the comments were happening, but from what I saw on Instagram, nobody was mentioning Takeoff, God rest his soul. Everyone was kind of just like, oh, not you using Cardi's internet. And it was like his birthday, and no one was wishing him a happy birthday. I don't know, I didn't see it. In other Cardi news, she did walk the show at Balenciaga. And besides her in attendance, like, Kim K was also there, and Nicole Kidman was there. So many people, right? So many celebs, and the fan bases across the social medias were saying, like, did we honestly forget so quickly the Balenciaga campaign, where they were showing children in BDSM wear, and there were like pedophilia documents in the background and all this stuff. And that's not even an air quote worthy thing. They were actually in the like documents in the background. And everyone's like, what the fuck? When Cardi walked off, some people were saying that it was potentially in, what's the word I'm looking for? Opposing the brand, like kind of like voicing like, yeah, I walked in this, but I'm not supporting them type of thing. But she did give thanks to them. Nothing else to my knowledge has been said besides that. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. And everyone's like, so we just forgot that this fucking brand was canceled because of their pedophilic imagery. Anyway, and we're gonna get more into that towards the end of the segment with Web Do We Weave, but in other news, Daddy Yankee has officially retired. And not like he retired the other year with King Daddy being his last album. I think that was the name of the album. But was it King Daddy? Hold on. No, I need to fact check me right now. Because I don't remember. Legend Daddy. Jeez. So Legend Daddy was his final album. He has worked on other things, doing like features and remixes and things like that, but Don Omar posted a very heartfelt message for him with a super cute picture of him. It's like my whole soul. Basically touching upon like their rivalry in the world of reggaeton across the years. And Daddy Yankee also, you know, released a statement basically saying like, you are also legendary and you also have done so much for our like genre of music, and many blessings onto you. Apparently he's retiring to go into more into like his Christian faith and everything. I think he's pulling Hector El Father, if I'm completely honest with you, or Tito El Bambino, where they like leave the music industry and both became pastors at a point, or still are. I think he's taking that route. Pretty sure he's always been Christian. Pretty sure. But it was like, it was such a heartfelt message because, so I translated it for you. Here's the like original message. So I'm gonna read this now because I won't cry. So Don Omar wrote the following. Today we close the book that held the best chapters of our controversial rivalry. Thank you for your words and for listening to my words that also came from the heart. I wish you and your family the best. Thank you for your competitiveness and admirable discipline, but more so, thank you for what you did for our music. Thank you for collaborating and competing with me, for I did it with a titan. I will remain with the good memories, the laughs, the mutual dreams, and the hope that I can have one last round with such a grand adversary. We shall see each other soon, because I owe you a hug and to give you thanks in person. In the interim, long life, King Daddy. And like I said, of course, like, he responded. And I was like, oh my god. So, for those of you that don't know, Don Omar and Daddy Yankee have had, like, a rivalry. And I put it in air quotes, because they've had kind of a Nicki Jam and Daddy Yankee situation going on, where, like, they were collaborators at first and made music together, and then beef happened, and then they stopped collaborating, and then the tiraeras happened, and where it was, like, basically they would, like, throw innuendos towards one another in music, and it was this whole thing. But I don't know, I was just like, look at the boys coming together at the end. I am here for it. Everyone's like, can we please get our last collab though? In the comments, everyone is like, we love this and this is beautiful. Can we get one last collaboration, please? Myself included, I'm like, that would be simple. either end 2023 with a fucking Daddy Don Omar, possibly Nicki. That would be so cool. Nicki Jam drop, or start off 2024 with a surprise hit. Who knows? It'd be dope. It would be such an homage to La Vieja Escuela. Like, Vieja Escuela basically means old school reggaeton, which is like the pioneros or pioneers of reggaeton. We're gonna get into a whole thing about that in a later episode here on this channel, but in other news. So Sabrina Carpenter, for one of her music videos, used a Catholic church as a prop, and a lot of people had issues with it, saying like it was seen as very disrespectful because like they've kind of had enough with, over the years, a lot of celebs using Catholicism, Christianity as like the thing to go against, and they're like, you know, this is a house of worship. Not to compare, but if it were any other religion, it would have gotten so much flack, were some of the comments that I was seeing. And like, the priest got fired from his job for allowing them to do the music video there. You know, he felt so awful. He's like, we had no idea the actual context of the video and what was going to be in it. They only got like $5,000 or some shit. nothing's been said yet, so I don't know. But everybody out here singing Santa. Anyways, I'm done. Congratulations to Vanessa Hudgens and Goldugger on their nuptials. Congrats to Demi and Jutes on their engagement. May Jutes be the one for Demi and Demi the one for Jutes. And may they live a long, happy, prosperous life. Congratulations to the Latino community on the breakup of Kendall Jenner and Bad Bunny. Sorry about that. I shouldn't be laughing as hard as I am at that, but yeah, so they broke up. Is anyone surprised? Not really. The Kylie Jenner clan did do a singing of some fucking, I don't know, some TikTok trend of like something Santa Baby, as long as he's here next year. I don't remember the whole thing, but the memes. When I tell you the internet is so fast, there was a picture of J-Lo when she received, I can't remember what fucking music award it was, and she's like, para Latinos! And someone posted that. I saw it on a fucking Todo Bien. Dude, that shit was so funny. I was like, wow. No, Jill. So, that being said, my lovely hummingbirds, we dive into today's topic of conversation, which is the what do we leave. Now, what does that mean? In the introduction, I spoke about how cats can catch spiders as long as the spider does not then bite the cat, because then like it harms it or whatever. I have touched briefly on like cord ties before A Grain of Salt was more established on this channel and everything, and I'm gonna do those over like going into like the soulmate and twin flame and all this stuff, especially after that fucking Twin Flames Universe shit came out on Netflix, because I have so many thoughts and so many things to say, but I digress. That is not what we are getting into specifically here. What we are getting into here is like more so the actions and relationships that we find ourselves in, especially toxic ones. I can't even say that, because we have some like not so toxic examples that can lead into toxic examples, if you catch my drift. But the webs we weave is essentially revolving around a quote, and I'm sure we've all heard this quote or variations of it many times before. The quote is this gorgeous thing right here. The quote is, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. It is from Sir Walter Scott's play, Marmion. Marmion? Marmion. I was like, I know I'm gonna not know how to pronounce this, but alas, that it is. Alas, that is what we are covering on today's episode. change my contacts. Sorry about that. My contacts said we are done. Well, my eyes said we were done with these contacts. So we're going in blind, y'all. No, but yes. What a tangled web we weave when first we choose to deceive, or whatever the fuck it is, and any variation thereof. Also, today's episode was slightly inspired by a TED Talk that I saw given by Pamela Meyer, and it is called The Truth About Lying, How to Spot a Liar. She wrote the book on lie spotting. I was going to say lie spidey. Not Spider-Man is a liar, but kind of. So, she goes to say in the TED Talk that we as humans, whoever we are either lied to or lie between 10 to 200 times a day. What does it mean to weave a web? Well, first and foremost, what is a web? According to vocabulary.com, a web itself is a sticky pattern of threads woven by a spider or something similar that appears to be woven together. And what is web weaving? If we ask Tumblr, it is a combination of various pieces of media from different sources, united by a common theme, topic, or concept. As I mentioned, the play and the TED Talk, how does this have anything to do with the journey of life, love, self-love, and healing, and all that good shit? Well, my lovely hummingbirds, first and foremost, it is that we all lie. Okay, no matter who we are, what we do, you, me, your mother, your brother, your sister, your daughter, your auntie, your nephew, your cousins, your doggos, your teacher, your pastor, whomst ever. We all do it, especially in moments that we deem those of survival. Now, I have personally clustered, because there's so many different types of lying that one can do. I was Googling and I was like, holy shit. There's a lot. I've clustered it into four separate groups. The four groups are minimization, which includes white lies and gray lies, exaggeration, which includes fabrication, compulsive, careless, and habitual lies, omission, which includes betrayal and broken promises, and self-servient, which is plagiarism, fraud, sabotage, barefaced, intentional. Now, let's look at these bad boys as relationships that we throw ourselves into. And this is, again, just, this is just how I am categorizing each, I guess, liar in our lives. That sounds horrible, but the reason I'm saying this is because the relationship between Peter Parker's Spider-Man and a Black Cat was, they had a little background into that. They had this whole little connection. Mind you, he was flip-flopping between her and Mary Jane at the time. But once he revealed his identity, which he had, like, they had this whole bond over him not revealing to anybody else that he was Peter Parker. You know, they felt super connected. They did the deed. They did the two-person naked tango. And then once that was ripped away, like, she felt betrayed and all this shit. And then, like, they have a complex little relationship going on. And now she's, like, one of his biggest allies and all this shit. But you're like my holiday mug. So it's this whole notion of, if you look at Peter, if you look at Spider-Man, if you look at really any hero or villain that must conceal their identity in order to do what it is that they're doing, in Spider-Man's case, save the day, it comes with so many other lies that have to then be told in order to maintain his secret a secret, right? And that is more a lie of omission, but that is neither here nor there. Actually, it is. We're gonna get into that in a second, but I have bundled these relationships into under the same categories. So under minimization, so those that are most often to to tell us or that we tell white lies or gray lies to would be friends, family, soul family, soulmates, anyone that we have a really intimate or strong bond with, in order, and well, not just to spare our own feelings or bigger arguments, but to spare theirs, to really just not. It's kind of like if a friend asks you, like, oh, I guess the most common example for this one is like, oh, if someone that you love is like, oh, how does this look on me? And like, they absolutely love it and you don't want to crush their spirit, but you're like, no, like, it looks good. Just, you know, do this. Or like, you give them some advice on how to do it better. It's like that. Or like, if, for example, say you have it, this one is more of an intense white lie, but yeah, more on the gray lie thing. One of the examples I saw was like, if you and a friend are in a compromising situation and you lie on behalf of your friend, it not only gets them out of their situation, but also it's like, cool, because I know you would do the same for me type of thing. So it's kind of like an equal exchange, more reciprocal. Another white lie would be like, so for example, and my lovely hummingbirds, say you're having a shit fucking day, right? And it's been a shit fucking day for a few weeks or a few months or days or whatever. And you're going to hang out with one of your best friends and you're sitting there and they're like, you know, asking you, do you have the space? And you say yes, even if you don't, because you care and you want them to have that space that you wish they would give to you, but you don't really know how to ask for. And this is in the journey of self-love and self-healing. And you're like, yes, of course I have the space. And then you go home carrying this burden of like, well, I really didn't, but they needed me in that moment. And that goes along with like people pleasing a little bit. Now, we go into exaggeration. So this one is fabrication, compulsive, careless, habitual lies. This is something that you can experience in toxic relationships, such as karmics, when you're going through the dark night of the soul, when you're experiencing addictions, or non-value aligned relationships. What was that one thing I saw? It was like, I don't know where I saw the saying, but it was like, all women lie and all men cheat, or some shit like that. And these relationships are ones where like very disgenuine. So it's very transactional would be the best way that I can explain these. So you're going to like hype this person up and make them feel like they are the grandest fucking thing to happen in your existence, and really you're just like, it you were like, I'm just trying to get some head, some bread, and then dip type of thing. That sounds awful, but non-value aligned relationships, y'all, don't do it. But those are some examples of it. Other examples in a more darker sense would be, since it involves exaggerations, would be like love bombing. And love bombing is this, essentially, where it is the like superfluous giving of affection and attention and even like gifts and things in new relationships, or in probably not even just new relationships. I feel like love bombing can happen at any point, but that's just, you know, my personal opinion. And the reason I mentioned the dark night of the soul, so another form of like lying that can happen in the exaggeration phase would be fabrications, compulsive, careless, or habitual lies. Habitual lies happen very heavy during addiction phases. My lovely hummingbirds, if you or anyone you know is suffering from addiction, please feel free to contact the number on your screen and or go to the resources in the link in the description. Now, if you are watching me on YouTube, for those of you that are audio only.
Feel free to call 1-800-662-4357. Again, the number is for the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, and the phone number is 1-800-662-4357.
Now, for this one, as I mentioned, for exaggerations, during the Dark Night of the Soul, which is essentially, for my lovely hummingbirds, if you're not in the spiritual community, it is when you are healing very, like, whether it's childhood traumas, traumas in adolescence, and your adult life, any form of trauma, you go through this very dark period where you have to face not just the ugly aspects of everything that has been done to you, but also everything you have done. And it can be a very depressive mental time, because healing is not linear. And in that time, exaggerations that you might give is exaggerations of yourself in order to compensate for the areas that you don't really feel in that moment, moments where you feel lacking. So instead of like confronting the fact that you're feeling like shit and you don't want to go out, you would get into this like hyper exaggerated notion and sensations around family, friends, loved ones, even just for your own fucking sake to be able to be present in those moments. Very exaggerated, boisterous moments, and then again, possibly even indulging in substance use, whether that is caffeine, whether that is alcohol, whether that is extracurriculars, any form of drug use, things like that, or even indulging in hypersexuality and performing sexually where you are not actually experiencing the interactions you're having, but basically saving face. Now, we go into omission. And omission relationships, same as above, they can be done with karmics, with toxic relationships, when you're going through dark night of the soul, when you're experiencing addiction issues, but also you can do this with friends and family, and even with those that we have self-serving relationships with. Now, for the omission one, it can be anything from like I said, you had a bad day and you just don't bring it up type of thing, or you don't have the mental space for something and you take on, you know, that exchange of energy. Also, it can be even larger to like, say you're in a new relationship and you tell the person, oh yeah, I have debt, but you don't get specific on the full amount of debt, to then where it can become a problem later on of like you're always struggling because you were not open and honest with them about like how much, or omitting, for example, like if you have a shopping addiction and you're sitting there like trying to make change, but then you omit that part of yourself from a partner or a loved one, like you buy like a new fucking pair of shoes that is completely out of budget and you're just like, oh no, but it's fine, like I'll pay it back, and really just ignoring the underlying things beneath that. And the last one, which is the self-servient relationships. I have narcissists, manipulators, sociopaths, psychopaths, dark individuals under this specific one as those that we can experience, where it is entirely one-sided. It is all a take to a very detrimental point where you are in mental, financial, or physical harm, or even spiritual harm. Think like unwilling cord ties and being manipulated through like spells and hexes as well if you are spiritual. In another sense, where we can have very self-serving relationships is where we are the ones then only taking from this person, taking their energy, their time, resources, where we essentially become energy vampires, If you haven't seen that episode yet, go ahead and check it out. But that is where I feel we fall into that when it comes to self-serving aspects. Now, why do we flow into these types of relationships? Why do we weave these webs? Why do we tie these cords in such a way? So, as I mentioned, more often than not, when a person lies, when my lovely hummingbirds, we partake in lying, whether it is with family or friends or lovers or freaking at the PTA meeting saying you did cut out all those decorations and you still haven't. And I don't know who that was for. That was very specific. I'm so sorry, lovely hummingbirds. I'm already chattling. But anyway, for my lovely hummingbirds that resonated with, if you are taking on too many responsibilities at the PTA meeting, go tell Susie and Carol and all them bitches, all who these people are, that you are taking on too many responsibilities and you can do it and y'all need to be that up better. Channeling aside, why do we dive into these webs of deceit? We can be born into relationships that corner us into a sense of survival. We can grow into relationships that corner us into survival. We can develop relationships built on lies and bullshit. We are mirroring people's behaviors towards us. Like, have you guys seen the meme of fucking, what's her face? Fiona Gallagher. When she's like, you tell me basically what fucking attitude we're gonna be in today type of thing. We run into them, we run from them, or we come full circle. So with the running into and running from, oftentimes, especially my lovely hummingbirds, if you consider yourself to be a very empathic individual, whether I am talking spiritually or just psychologically very understanding, it is very common to run into people that have very negative mindsets, very biased ideologies, or just people that like to take control. And we end up going into this rabbit hole of believing in the lies that we construct ourselves of this person. Because at the end of the day, so I don't know if you guys have ever seen that notion of like falling in love with potential over what's real and in your face. That's a lie that we tell ourselves. And even to some degree, living in the delulu of manifestation, may all your delulus become true lulu and be this lulu that you need and deserve in life. But it is that notion of like lying to ourselves in order to achieve better. In that moment of our reality does not immediately reflect what it is that we are trying to achieve, right? When it comes to the webs we weave and the lies, there are good lies, there are bad lies. As I mentioned, there is lying for self-serving reasons and like, you know, tax evasion and shit like that. Don't do it. I love Liam members, pay your taxes. Don't know who that's for. But there is those moments of like, okay, when it comes to the journey of self-love and self-healing, when it comes to survival, especially, if you are lying through your fucking teeth to survive a moment, which I know it sounds like weird hearing it as a lie, but even fawning in a traumatic situation can be a lie. You're complying to a person's wants, desires, needs, or demands because you're afraid for your life in that moment, or you think if I do this one thing, it'll be over, even if there is no genuineness in your heart over it. You will say things that you don't mean. You will do things that you don't mean. You might lie to a person and say that you love them and beg for love in return because you think, okay, this is what they want from me. This is what they want to hear. If I do this, it'll be done and I'll never have to do this again, right? Or you sit there and say you are in a very toxic relationship of some sort, whether it is family or friends or lovers, and you're being questioned of where you went to that day. And you know that if you say you went to go do X, Y, and Z, it's going to be an issue, because either it makes you happy or fulfills you in some way, if it is that level of controlling, or it is something that, like, you know, the person would not be in agreement with on the toxic end. Say you're like fucking wanting to have your cake and eat it too. I don't get that same. But one of my besties was like, what's the point of having a cake if you can't eat it? Why does that saying exist? It's like, you know, great point. If you know why that saying exists, put it in the comments. But that notion of, like, you know, if you tell someone the truth about something, especially when it comes to something hurtful, like say you lose feelings for a person, it might not always be the easiest to acknowledge that. Or if a relationship fizzles out, no matter the degree of relationship, sometimes it's easier to live in the lies we construct around that versus facing the truth of that, because the truth of that comes with so many more steps and so much more healing and so much more to do. And it can just feel like, right? I'm not saying I approve of lying, my love, and hummingbirds. I'm just explaining. I'm just explaining the types that we can do and receive, especially during moments of, like, when we're still on our journey of life and healing and doing all this good shit to be better people. How do we cut out the webs we weave? Unfortunately, some can never be repaired. But for those that can, ask, why is this the choice I'm making? What brought this forward? How can I, like, break this pattern within myself? How can I make distance with those that I do this with, or those that do it to me? And if I choose to seek closure, why is it that I'm choosing to seek this closure? Because, okay, for example, say, that was very random. I don't know why I had like a Hannah Montana example pop into my head. But say you are like a world-renowned superstar and you have a secret identity. And you start dating someone as not your secret identity, right? Not as your superstar, whatever. What's the fucking... Not like your superstar persona, but you start dating them as just you, and then you have to be like, so actually I'm like this fucking rich ass celebrity and blah 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 blah, and the person is like, why did you never tell me? And like, say you have, this is a very weird scenario, but okay, and you have your very real reasons, you've seen like issues in the past with previous relationships, you've seen the damage that has happened because either you've then in turn been used and abused for your resources and finances and things like that, or clout or whatever, and like the person can never move past it, and they're like, oh well, you know, if you can't trust me with this, then like how can I trust you with anything? That conversation then happens. Ask yourself, my lovely hummingbirds, why did all of a sudden you choose to speak up? Was it because you could no longer keep up the facade? Or, you know, paparazzi started posting shit and you were like, damn, they're gonna see it in a fucking tabloid soon enough. Very specific. Y'all good. Who's watching this? I have questions. Oh. No, but in those times where, like, you sit there, and oftentimes when someone that has fudged the truth for so long chooses to speak up, it is often because it is riddled with guilt or hurt of some sort of, like, I can't keep this up because it's wearing me fucking thin, or like they get caught or things like that, like Cheaters type of thing. Just pictured the show Cheaters. Anyway, but if you, my lovely hummingbird, are the one that is like lying to someone about something, hopefully it's not as dramatic as those examples, ask yourself, you know, like, if I'm bringing this forward, why is it that I'm bringing it forward? Is it really because, like, I'm trying to spare the person the pain of the situation or them finding out through like other means? Am I trying to spare myself that? And also ask yourself, why did I start doing this to begin with? Say if it is an example of like cheating or something like that, you gotta sit there and be like, okay, why am I being, why am I lying to this person? Why am I being disgenuine? Why am I breaking like the contract of our relationship? What is it in myself within the relationship that is leaving me unfulfilled? Like, why? Because at the end of the day, like, the ways that we choose to react and interact to others is a reflection of self, not necessarily them. Just like when someone reacts or acts towards us in some way, it is a reflection of themselves, not always entirely the things that we are doing, although, you know, we are human and we do fuck up and make mistakes and we could be pieces of shit at times. And so it can very much be a very valid reaction. But definitely sit with yourself and ask yourself those questions and then make a distance, if necessary, from these people. Because as I mentioned, lying can often be a survival tactic. So if you find yourself surrounded by people that you... And this goes more into the realm of like not being true to yourself, because not being true to yourself, to who you are, being authentic as a person, is also a form of a lie. As I mentioned, the whole falling in love with the potential versus what's in your face type of thing is also a lie. God, I miss having blonde hair, but not the point. Like, said in my own reflection, I was like, wait a minute. So, I'm like, oh my god, baby. No, so, one of those things is like, if we're in a group of people, and say, while there are some things, I am a firm believer, there are some things that are to remain between you and the good Lord, or whomsoever you believe in. If you are sitting in an environment, my lovely hummingbirds, where you are constantly unable to be yourself, genuinely, right? And I don't mean like levels of ourselves, like when we go to fucking work, we can't be like twerking on the desk. If that is your job, where do you work? Can I join you? No, but things like that, right? Like there's different parts of ourselves that we accentuate in different settings. But if you're sitting around friends or family or lovers or whoever, and you find yourself not being able to be you, not being able to speak up for like what you believe in, not being able to genuinely portray your style or your eating habits or things like that, as long as they're like not harming yourself or others, right? You need to take a really good hard look at, is this really the environment that I want to continue surrounding myself in? If I always have to pull a facade every single fucking time I'm around these people, is it really worth to be around these people? And one of those, and I just heard the word loyalty into my head. Are you being loyal to a fault over time that you've spent with them? Or is it like, do you fear, I just heard blackmail, like, is it a notion of, oh, if I fucking leave these people in the dust, they're gonna be out here spilling my deepest, darkest secrets? Like, fuck those people, fuck them. That should not be a thing. Like, you should not, how do I say this, you should not ever leave a relationship and have that lingering over your head, because then that means that it was never genuine to begin with. In the journey of life, love, and self-healing, my lovely hummingbirds, the goal, at least my personal goal, is to live a life as authentically myself as I possibly can. And while it has not been easy, because there is a lot of gross bits that I don't like, that I have not liked throughout the years of who I was at periods, because I was so afraid to face the truth of who I am, of myself, of my journey, of my health, especially. Oh my God, so much around it revolved around endometriosis, like y'all have no idea. But universe, not now. No, but my nonsense aside, it took a really long time to be able to be like, all right, you know what? I fucked up. I did things I should not have done. I said things I should not have said. I hurt people that I should not have hurt. I hurt people that hurt me. And while they hurt me, that did not mean I had to stoop to their fucking level. Although I do believe that sometimes, you know, when certain people act a certain way, you have all the right. If they go low, you go to hell, but not the point here. That is petty me talking. But what the fuck did Rihanna say? Their biggest revenge is that you are no longer in their lives, per. No, but in all seriousness, my lovely hummingbirds, if you find yourselves in a situation where you have to, right, or you feel like you have to be disgenuine, like you have to lie, like you cannot be honest, you cannot be yourself. If someone is making you commit tax evasion or anything of fudging numbers financially, please don't do it. That never ends well. And I don't know who that's for. And I don't know why I'm already channeling. Oh my God, my eyes got like, I want to cry right now. My lovely hummingbirds, please be very, don't do that. Be very careful with the financial relationships you're keeping for some of you. Anyway, if in the moments that you cannot say like you burn, ooh, over here, not my shit. Say you burn the bridge with this person completely and there is no fucking return. As one of my besties so graciously said, they said, sometimes you gotta write it down, burn it, and send it to God. Not verbatim. But that's why I mentioned that it stays between you and the good Lord. Because sometimes it is better to have, even if it's messy, but a complete cutoff, and then you heal in private, than trying to reopen a can of worms that, like, is not going to be conducive to anybody involved. But yeah, now I'm like slightly concerned for my lovely hummingbirds out here that apparently got people trying to blackmail them. We're gonna do a tarot reading about who's trying to blackmail you. It's so random. But yeah, if you find yourselves, my lovely hummingbirds, in a state of lying and deceiving, and for some of you I heard cheating, I need you to really break away and look at yourself internally and look at why that is. What within you is triggering a sense of survival, and also what within you is bringing forward this need of like insufficiency. For myself personally, if it ever, for myself personally, any of the fucking times in my life where I was disgenuine to myself, to others, was because I did not feel secure in myself. I did not feel sufficient in myself. It was easier to bullshit than to face the very hurtful truths that I was living day to day. It was easier to feel bullshit than to admit my shortcomings and addictions and things of that nature. And it was easier to continue to fall into disgenuine interactions or be disgenuine with myself because it was easier than doing the work. It was easier than admitting the voids that I had, and so much so to admitting where those voids even came from to begin with. Those doubts, those insecurities, all of that. Oh, I almost cried on that one. End of year brings a whole lot of contemplation and thinking. Yo, it's almost 2024. What is happening? What the fuck is happening? Ah! I'm also like, bitch is about to be 30. Yeah. If you find yourselves, right, in those moments of like, I'm not good here, I'm not good with these people, I don't like me, who I am with these people. If you find yourself lying about how you feel emotionally, energetically, mentally, spiritually, financially, you have to really sit back and look at why that is. Why can you not be you around them? Why is it not good enough? Oh, this reading is gonna be intense. I'm already fucking crying. Y'all, I really miss my blonde. I miss it so much. I promise I will dye my own hair blonde again. I will go to a salon and I will do it properly. But this is why wigs exist. Anyway, my distractions aside, I do want to say, my lovely hummingbirds, remember that regardless if you do find yourself in a moment of, like, you're lying to yourself or others, especially if you're lying to you, stop lying to you. You are beautiful, regardless of whatever the fuck the world has told you. You are worthy. You deserve love and all good things, no matter the bullshit you've done, as long as you do the work to heal those aspects of yourself that are not the best, because we all have them. Okay, we all have these gritty, gross bits that we don't like to fucking admit. I know I have moments where I'm like, yeah, I fucked up. Yeah, I did that shit. And there's moments where I'm like, ooh, I don't want to look at that. Anxiously plays with hair. But remember that you are loved, you are learning, and you must give yourself the grace that you deserve in the journey to improve and do better in life by yourself, by others, right? I saw this fucking thing where it was like, the whole purpose of life is to leave this place better than it was when we got here. Granted, that's not everybody's journey in life. Some people, their journey really is just to experience life and be good and happy and shit, which, like, I'm so proud of you, because that means you did all of the soul work in previous lifetimes. But I'm getting so emotional, my lovely hummingbirds. I don't even want to say goodbye. I'm already channeling. I will see y'all in a couple weeks after this post for the next reading, second reading of 2022, where we're going to get into, like, third reading. It might be the third. I gotta look at my schedule of what I got going on, but it's gonna be okay. And I know that at times, especially if you have indulged in weaving webs you can't seem to get yourself out of, okay? I keep hearing the fucking saying, what is chaos to the fly is normal to the spider. If you found yourself being the spider at first, now you're the fucking fly, and you're both, and you're having some weird fucking current Vonnegut moment where you are experiencing both at the same damn time, which can often be true. If we've learned anything in the past 3 years, is that multiple things can be true at once. My lovely hummingbirds, I love you. It's gonna be okay. For some of you, I am hearing the biggest thing that you can do for yourself is to detach yourself from those situations, those outcomes, unlearn toxic behaviors and patterns that you built up as walls of defense for yourself. Absolutely. And really look inward and look at you. Get the fucking shadow work journal. Where is it? Where is she? Where's my baby?
Get the shadow work journal. It's really good. It has a lot of exercises and fucking emotional triggers and things in here. Do the work. And if you're like, no, Monroe, I don't want to do the fucking work,
well then stay where you are until you figure out that you're ready to.
Granted, you will never be ready to. Trust me on that one.
But, and I text my bestie because I keep hearing her fucking voice in my head. She's like, my grandma would always say, hard head makes for soft ass. please. If you're sitting in a space surrounded by chaos and bullshit, and you feel like the fucking fly surrounded by a bunch of spiders, it's time you start unweaving those webs. And if you feel like the cat that trapped the spider and then got bit by it, you need to look at the parts, my lovely hummingbirds, that you played in that role. Be kind, be courteous, be conscientious of yourself and others. But it is time that we leave all the disingenuous living in 2023. It's about to be a new year. We are literally 5 days away from the 1st of January from the time of me recording. Wait, what fucking day is it today? Yeah. 5 days away. That is a business week away from a brand new fucking year. For all my 94 babies, we better be 30 bitches. But it's time you start living as the person that you want to be in this life, and not the fucking person you were told you were supposed to be. My dad, ooh, very interesting. So he handed me this little pamphlet that this little old lady gave him, a real old lady. He was like, yeah, I was coming back from the gym and random old lady just stopped me and she's like, here you go, this is for you, God bless you. And in my head, all I heard was like, that was God in human form presenting themselves to my dad. Because he needed to see that pamphlet. I don't think he read it, but he gave it to me. And it's basically this guy, and he shows up with a fucking cigar to the gates of heaven. And he's like, oh, and God's voice is like, why should I let you in? And he's like, what do you mean? I went to church every Sunday, and I did my best at everything. He's like, really? Did you do your best in everything? Remember that one time? He's like, well, okay, but we don't have to bring that up. Why are we bringing that up? And like, what am I supposed to do? And then he gets shot back down to earth and he's like, what am I supposed to do for salvation? And like, obviously it's a Christian pamphlet, so he gets handed the Bible and it's the whole like, you know, Jesus Christ is your salvation and all that. For some of you, you might want to work on your spiritual practices, really get back in touch with yourself and with your connection to God and the universe and source and whomsoever you believe in. But for others of you, the point of that is, and I've seen this before, that there was this story, like I brought it up in other years, and I don't know, maybe that was God's way of being like, hey, remember that one thing you didn't bring up this year? I always bring it up to like family and loved ones, especially around the holidays, around the end of the year. I'm like, it was this like story slash kind of joke in Spanish that my dad used to say to us when we were kids. And it was basically like, if you were to get to heaven's door today and they opened up the book of your life and you looked at it, what would you have to show for it? Would you be happy with what was shown in it? Because like, I'm very Dante Alighieri mindset on this one, of like, we all have to repent for our sins in order to reach the gates of heaven and all that shit, like regardless of who we are. While we may confess and be absolved of our sins in certain moments throughout life from whomsoever, however you do that, but I feel like we all have to, like, in the end of days, right, absolve for them, and then, you know, cleanse our spirit and our soul and everything and make it into heaven. If you, my lovely hummingbirds, were to make it to the pearly gates, and or however you, nirvana, or however you see heaven, if you even believe in heaven, and you were shown by whatever higher source the book of your life and everything you'd done everything you were meant to accomplish and that you haven't yet, and all of that. Everything that you've wanted to do, and every dream that you ever had for your life. Would you be happy with the things you've done thus far? And if any point at this you were raving and being like, Monroe, how the fuck did we get here? Oh, fuck no, I told you I was channeling from the moment I started recording this again. If the answer was no, what are you gonna do next year to change it? Granted, we have a whole lot of shit going on right now, and like right now it's all about like building upon the foundations we've already built, but if those foundations are not it, what needs to be let go of in order to live a more authentic, more you, more vivacious, more true life to yourself, to your experiences, to what you've seen is meant for you? Now, my lovely hummingbirds, that's it for me for you for today. For next week's episode, it's gonna be the new year. So I have no idea what the title is gonna be yet. It's gonna be like an intro to the new year. I'm hearing a whole lot of things from my notebook. So next week's episode, and this was not planned, but it's actually, oops, it's a play on How I Met Your Mother. So Barney Stinson, one of the characters on there, is always trying to have a legend, wait for it, Dairy Night. And he always says, like, you know, New Year's is gonna be a legend, wait for it, Dairy. And I have the title, because I'm a fucking dork as this. And for my audio only hummingbirds, it's literally legend, wait for it, because I'm lactose intolerant, so no, but dairy. I ain't shit. And there's a reason for that. We're gonna get into that in next week's episode about how to be legendary in life. And in this upcoming year, for a lot of you, my lovely hummingbirds, for a lot of us in the collective, that this is our year of absolute ascension and claiming our fucking flowers and all of that. Go listen to flowers, go pamper yourselves, enjoy, rest, take up space, have fun, be yourself as genuinely as you possibly can. Go shoot your shot at that person after the retrograde is done. Do it after the retrograde, my loves. Or do it during the retrograde and be like, okay, yes it is. Okay, I'm done. I'm done channeling. I'm gonna go record the tarot reading for all that I've been channeling now. And that's it for me, for you, for today. As always, les mando muchas paz, muchos besos. Y les recuerdo que miren hacia la luna. Sending much peace, many kisses, and reminding you to always look at the moon. I love you all so much. Have a good one. Happy fucking 2024. I hope it brings everything that your heart desires. And I hope that you are able to move forward as genuinely you as you possibly can. Okay, that's it. I love y'all. Have a good one. And I will catch y'all on tomorrow's episode. Okay, bye.